Hallelujah. 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 Let's stand on our feet a moment while the children's church make their way and just talk to him, worship him, bless him.
I stand in awe of you, Lord. When the glory hits like this, anything can and will happen. Healings, deliverance, direction, anything can and will happen. Thank you. Thank you. Strength. Strength for the weary. Thank you. Legedosh Tabrahande. Legeges Tobahatika Labayande. Estubrande Levekadosta. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Are lifted, yokes are destroyed.
There is peace there. Hey, there's love in life. The presence of my Lord.
God, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your tangible presence here this morning. Thank you for the things that you have done, the things you are doing that go way beyond our understanding or comprehension. Thank you for being there for us, for honoring us with your presence as you always do. Thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for utterance this morning, that I might speak as your mouthpiece. Ministers of a power that only you supplies. And we'll all hear that which you want us to hear. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope nobody is here who's allergic to worship. Amen. Because this is allergy season, are we? So you are not allergic. Look at your neighbor and say, I know that's not you. Hallelujah. Go very quickly with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And this week, are we? This week we have our half-time renewal, and I hope you have created time. How many people you've shoved things off your diary? You've asked for a little extra time at work. How many people have done something, you know, just to create the time? How many people? Only half a hand. Hallelujah. But you have to try to do that. Amen. That's just, isn't it, once or twice? We don't have events every 2 months, every 3 months. So, and we told you this is for you. Amen. This is to ensure that we carve out time in the middle of the year or about the middle of the year and spend time with God extra. And I believe that God is going to speak to us, but not just speak to us. I believe it's a time of impartation. I believe that every time you come in God's presence, you don't go the same way. I believe that every time you have an encounter with God in one form or the other, you are never left the same. The Bible says that, it says that when we look in the glory, we are transformed into the same image, okay? And that means that every time you have an encounter with God, basically the glory of God, then you are being transformed to be like God. Hallelujah. And sometimes when you have, you know, meetings back to back, like we are planning this week, what it does is that it enables you to come to a saturation point, you know, saturation point, or maybe it helps you to come to a filling. So it's not as if you fill up a car at a tank, you drive away. By the time you come back, there is more space, isn't it? Because you've used up what you took, okay? So that's what it is. But when you have something back to back, then you are filling and filling and filling to overflow. Hallelujah. Such that you are not the same again. Can I have an amen? Okay, so what I'm speaking about, it actually struck me that I'm speaking about the sex minefield, which I started to introduce the last time. And it struck me that it's not out of, you know, because I was thinking to myself, okay, we'll take a break this week from that and then I'll continue. But then it struck me that we're not taking a break, really. This also is part of what we're talking about, because we're talking about what? For the halftime, we're talking about keeping on track, managing distractions. This is one of the biggest distractions around. Are you hearing me? Illicit sex is one of the biggest distractions around that is distracting and detracting people from their mission in life and destroying destinies. I remember years ago, we're talking about somebody. Somebody was talking about somebody, you know. When you say all of that, it's coded, Abby. So somebody was discussing somebody with me who is very highly placed in the society. And he was telling me how brilliant this man was, how very smart, very intelligent this man was. And I was amazed because he dealt with him personally. And he said, this man is an absolute brilliant person and all of that. He said, but his only problem is women. I said, that's a big but. Because what happened? The moment he said that, it's like everything else he said about him. In fact, the brilliance that he was emphasizing became dummy. You understand what I'm saying? Because I thought to myself, you can't be that brilliant and not realize the danger of that. And I told the guy, I said, you know, that bot that you mentioned on the side is too big. I said, because that alone is enough to destroy everything else that guy can achieve. Are you with me? And I'm saying the things, and I'm led to take that this month, partly in keeping with the halftime, like I came to realize, partly in keeping with what God was laying on my heart about, you know, this halftime renewal, and saying, hey, we need to manage distractions. This is one of the key distractions that God is saying to us we will need to manage in life. We'll have to be very careful about it. I had another encounter, you know, during the week, Wednesday morning. I was taking off very early for Abuja. Got on the plane, gave me newspaper, and I took the newspaper, and I was reading. You know, I was reading through, glancing through, really, because many of the stories I don't read. You know, some people read newspaper, and they underline it. You know, I don't find so much good news in there, you know, that I will study that much. So I just go through, glance through. And then I got to this page where it's a page where people will write, supposedly, write letters to this counselor, advisor, you know it. And they will write to this person. And apparently I'd been listening on the radio because this was a particular newspaper, but there's this radio program in the mornings that this guy will feature one of the days in the morning. He'll feature that particular page where somebody will write to this counselor about relationship issues and all of that. So what struck me was that I saw that title. And I thought to myself, oh, this is what this guy usually refers to and discusses on his radio show. He doesn't hide that, he says it all the time. So I said, oh, this is the thing, you know. And so I glanced through the issues, you know, what were the issues people were writing about. And when I looked at them, there was a particular one. This was God's reassurance to me that I was on the right path and I was saying what he wanted me to say. And someday, I don't even remember what the person asked anymore, but I remember just a phrase, you know, and that phrase was that the person was apparently asking about, you know, sex before marriage in some form or the other. I don't remember the story. Okay, that tells you how attentive I was to what I was reading. But I remember that the response of a counselor, you know, the title is Dear Somewhere, and then the response of a counselor started with, sex is a minefield. And that's what, you know, jumped out at me for obvious reasons, because I was just talking about that, and I struggled. I think many years ago I spoke about it, and I spoke about it as the sex trap. But for some reason, I was about to speak about it, and I struggled with the title, and I ended up with sex, the sex minefield. So this was God reassuring me and saying, you are on the path that I want you to be on, because the lady wrote, started off and said, sex is a minefield. And what's a minefield? A minefield is a land, you know, that is full of bombs. When I say full of, it doesn't mean every step you take is a bomb or you land on a bomb, but it means that the bombs that are placed in certain locations, but if you are unaware or if you are unable to use a detector to find the bombs where they are, the likelihood is that you are going to step on a bomb, climb on a bomb, ride on a bomb, and of course when you do, if you don't die, you lose a limb or two, you know, basically you'll be left disabled. You know, in that sense. And there are bombs that have lasted for ages. That is bombs from World War II that people have put in the floor. In fact, now I think bombs are illegal, basically. You know, in war, you don't use mines anymore. Not bombs, sorry, mines. Are you following me? It's amazing how you fight war and they say something is wrong, is illegal. You can't use this. But we don't say you can't fight war. Okay? But you don't use mines anymore. Normally, okay, because of the very reason that you can have the mines in that land or in the field, and after the battle is over, you leave them there, and there are people, even children who have been known to play on the field, and they find themselves stepping on a bomb that's 30 years old, and it blows them to pieces. Sex is that old. Are you with me? And the fact that it destroys is that old. Actually, usually when you look at the minefield, the
person who puts the bomb in the minefield expects that this is probably a route that you are going to take. That is, you don't go and put mines in a road that is deserted. So you say to yourself, it's very likely that when this person is coming, this is the way he's going to take. Then you put mines on that road, you know, and you plant them in that soil. So the same way. So I find many similarities in that regard. But there are things that we will be exposed to, everybody without exception. And the devil has placed sex as a mine or as mines within the pathway of life. Are you with me? The good thing again about that illustration is that, like I said before, it's not everywhere you put your foot on a minefield that it explodes. So you can actually walk through the sex minefield and it doesn't explode. But you have to walk through it the right way and avoiding the bombs that are there. Are you with me? You're going quiet. That's why the Bible tells us that marriage is honorable. And the marriage bed is undefiled. That is the path on that field that if you will walk within the confines of marriage, he said it's undefiled. There are no bombs. Are you hearing me? There are no bombs. But if you get outside of the confines of marriage, it's a risky game. Are you with me? I can't but tell you, and I'm not even yet following my notes. Hallelujah. I need to follow my notes a little bit. Okay? But I can't but tell you that in the few years, you know, of ministry, as it were, I've known people who have stepped on the mine. You know, and some survived, some didn't. And I mean literally, some did not survive it. I remember a gentleman and a young man, university days, young man, very zealous for God, very anointed. And then he started playing around with homosexuality. Are you with me? Playing around with homosexuality. It's a minefield. Now, it's how do you say this? It's not that other people are not exposed to the same temptations. I just said that earlier, that everybody is. But you must fight certain things. If you know this is what is bedeviling me. Are you hearing me? You must fight it and fight it to the last. It must be, you know, there are battles that you fight, say, one of us must die here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm saying this is that kind of battle that you fight and say, look, one of us will perish, but this thing will not have the better of me. So I don't know when he had an issue with it, but he had an issue with it then. Of course, short while, HIV, sickness, death. Many may not have known, but some of us knew what the issue was. Are you still with me? I knew somebody else, bad case HIV, I asked, and I said, well, what happened to you? How did you get this? Why should, if I remember correctly, she told me, because I was remembering somebody else who said she really didn't know. But she told me, she said, yeah, it was her boyfriend. At that point, the boyfriend was long in her past. But she got it from him. I said, so did he know that he had something? She said, apparently, yes. Did you hear what I said? Huh? So he knew he had caught something, but he still slept with her and gave her something. Actually, there have been cases. Now it's a criminal offense. There have been cases of people who say, if somebody gave me, me too, I will give as many people as I can give. True story, life. Who said, somebody gave it to me too. Me too, I will gift it. To as many people as are willing to receive. Are you there? And there have been cases of people who have slept with over 100 people, infecting them with HIV, and did so knowingly. That's newspaper. This one is real. This one I knew. And I said, she said, yeah, it was her boyfriend. I said, so he knew? She said, yes. I said, how do you know he knew? She said, because when I confronted him, he wasn't surprised. So he knew something. Are you with me? And, of course, things went on. She was doing well, prayer, God's word. Things were working. Get on your drugs. She wasn't on her drugs. She said, get on those drugs, but we will believe God until everything is destroyed. She did everything, was working well, until she stepped on another mine. Are you with me? Again, got in an affair with another guy who didn't know. So she was about to gift him. Although she was probably low risk because she was doing very well. So viral count, everything very low. But the gentleman thought he was enjoying life. He didn't know he was playing with something. Are you with me? But that's not the story. At the end of the day, the events around that basically destroyed her, destroyed her faith, and it was a downward slide from then on. She went down very rapidly, became quite sick very rapidly. I mean, if there was something, that's one of the deaths that shook me and broke my heart. Because I watched God doing his work. I watched God working on somebody. I watched, even the people who were treating said the response to treatment was incredible. I watched God doing his miracle. And I watched somebody destroy it. Because she wasn't careful enough about God's instructions. Are you there? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's been our text. And that I will use. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 3. It says, for this is the will of God. Can I hear you say the will of God? I hope the will of God matters to you. Are you hearing me? I hope it really, 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 really matters to you what the will of God is. Now, one of the reasons why the will of God should matter to you is because God is always right. Are you there? I think Psalm 119, verse 129, the psalmist said, I have considered your word concerning everything to be right. Meaning, I've sat down and I've told myself, anything God says, whether I understand, whether I don't understand, whether I feel like, whether I don't feel like, I have just determined in my heart, anything God says is right. Are you hearing me? I mean, when God talks about all kinds of things, if you read God's word, all kinds of things are in there. It talks about debt. It talks about, you know, bitterness. It talks about many things. And if you just follow what God has said, you will avoid regrets. That's a big thing. You will avoid regrets. If you don't follow it, you will learn by experience. You know when they say experience is the best teacher? Experience is a very, very unkind teacher. Experience is a teacher, it doesn't care how you feel. When experience teaches you, the reason why it's the best, you won't forget. Are you there? You won't forget. You will be biting your finger, biting your finger, biting your finger. You will want to rewind the clock and say, can we go back to last year? Can we go back to 5 years ago? Can we go back to 10 years ago? But you won't be able to. That's experience. Somebody said the pain of regret is the biggest pain there is. That is when you see something and you say, I should have known. I wouldn't have. I shouldn't have. He said, that's the biggest pain you can ever experience in life. What does it mean? It means that it's unavoidable. What you are facing now is avoidable. So when we look at it in public health, for instance, and we look at death, or we look at the quality of life, what we are thinking to ourselves is, what are avoidable deaths? So when certain things happen, it's painful. In public health, because you say to yourself, this is totally avoidable. So, I mean, I was discussing dementia and all of our dementia, and I was thinking of stroke, discussing dementia actually with somebody and how we do well or we were doing better, and the people in the villages and all that, how the lifestyle works better for us than it does for Europeans. You know, so, and we talked about the fact that people will walk for you know, kilometers. Early in the morning, you go to the farm, you work hard, you walk back from the farm, you eat what you just took out of the ground and all of that. But now, I mean, even comparing the people there in the villages to the people in the cities now, the difference is clear. You know, so as I said, for instance, in the hotel, I was telling them at the board meeting I was in on Thursday, as I sat in the meeting, I sat in breakfast in the hotel in Abuja, and I watched somebody bring his children in, and he's saying, oh, it's a buffet, what do you want? I could see easily, and I heard them, when it was a sausage, baked beans, you know, there was ogi. Ogi was present. Are you hearing me? My present. You say, my present, sir. Ogi, present, sir. But they will skip all of those ones because we want to eat bacon and sausage. Lifestyle changes. So things are changing for us because we have moved from the better things because it's not classy enough sometimes for many of us. You know, it's not classy enough. It's not. And sometimes maybe you don't find it as tasty, but actually it's healthier. Are you with me? So those are avoidable things. So I was thinking to myself that, look, we are taking on some of these things, and then in later years, we will struggle. Those people are going to struggle with stroke. They're going to struggle with dementia, struggle with high blood pressure, struggle with diabetes. And why? Because the diet was wrong from very early on. Are you with me? So I'm not saying that there are things that are avoidable. I had a gentleman who does some stuff for me, and I think I've spoken about him before. Fantastic guy. Repairs electronics very easily. So one day I called him. I said, okay, where are you now? I need you. And he said, I almost died. I said, what? He said, I almost died. And he sounded very bad on the phone. I said, what happened to you? I said, my blood pressure. And they just rushed me. I didn't even know whether I was alive or dead. They rushed me to the hospital and all of that. And I said, did you know that your blood pressure was high? He said, yes. I said, so you were not taking your drugs? He said, no, I take it sometimes. So you know what? That's what you call what? An avoidable problem. Are you with me? What has that got to do with any of this? I'm saying that there are avoidable problems where sex is concerned, that if you avoided them, you won't have a problem in the future. Can I have an amen? Okay, so verse 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. The old King James would say fornication, but that's the right translation. Sexual immorality, meaning that of any form. Any kind of sexual immorality is not just fornication, it's not just adultery. Any kind of immorality sexually, it says you should abstain from it. But verse 4 says that each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. And I always like to say to people that what works for A may not necessarily be the key for B. But what all of us must achieve is what? Sanctification. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A is watching something, he says it doesn't matter. You, it matters. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He goes here. You say, since he goes there, me too, I can go there, my friend. Don't go there. It has a greater impact on you, even though what is wrong is wrong. You understand what I'm saying? There are wrong things. Some certain things are just wrong, so they are wrong. They are wrong for everybody, even though they may have a greater impact on one person than the other. So, for instance, some people wonder and say, boy, can I smoke a cigarette? It's wrong. Even though somebody will tell you that, oh, my father smoked cigarette for 50 years and died at 90. But there are people who smoked it for only 2 years. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But he dying at 90 doesn't make cigarette good. It's bad. He just seems to have had a better tolerance to it than other people did. Maybe he would have lived to 120. Who knows? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Are you there? So the primary thing, and like I said to you, the primary thing I'm trying to do in this is look at Proverbs 5, 6, 7. And I always tell people, read that, and study it well. Why? Because everybody, single, married, whatever your status might be, you are all going to walk through the sex minefield. Okay? If you put your foot in the right places, you won't be blown off. If you take the wrong steps, you're on your own. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you take the right steps, put your foot in the right places, you'll be just fine. If you take the wrong steps in life where this is concerned, this sex minefield, only God can tell what will happen to you eventually. There are certain consequences we can say, but who knows? Are you with me? So Proverbs chapter 5. And one of the key things you should take away from 1 Thessalonians is that it's possible. Can I hear you say it's possible? It's possible to live right. It's possible to walk and live in sanctification. It's possible to avoid sexual immorality. I know it looks very difficult because we are bombarded left, right, and center. Are you hear what I'm saying? Media, phone, everything, you know, and even in reality. But it's possible to live right. I mean, I had a friend years ago. He came to my dad's office, saw his screensaver on the desktop then. I had to stop by to do something in my dad's office, and then he saw the screensaver. So I said he could call me, so we went in together. And when we left, he was thanking me, and I said, what for? He said, because that was for him an encounter. He didn't have any conversation with my dad. He just stood aside while I talked to him. He said because for him, he always had that belief that it's not possible to have one man, one wife. It's amazing what people imbibe. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's amazing what people imbibe as they go on in life. He said, but inside of him, there was just that thing that said that it was not possible to do it. He said, but just seeing that screensaver was a message to him that it's possible. So he was thanking me for it. Are you there? There are people who have believed, imbibed. They say it's impossible for a man to be faithful. Women, are you listening to me? That's a lie from the pit of hell. Are you hearing me? And if you believe it, you will be the one destroying your home and yourself. Are you there? Somebody said, no, you know, I can marry that guy even though I know that he's 2, 3, 4 timing. They're not married though. He said, but I can marry him because I know that all men are like that. Who told you? He said, so that's not enough reason for me not to marry him. It is more than enough. Are you still here? Because not everybody is like that. And it's not supposed to be like that. It was Adam and Eve. Not Eve plus Jane. Are you still with me? Now, there are things that time and all that I'm not sure I can get into. Because when I'm saying it like that, you might be thinking, why is he saying that? I've seen it. I've sat in counseling with people and the woman is telling you stuff. And somebody had to stand back. And I said, you know what? There's a problem. You have a problem. I said, you have already allowed your husband and released him to cheat. I'm not talking about you nagging or fighting your husband. I said, but even in your heart, you have already determined that this is going to happen to your home. And you are making preparations, trying to keep away money here and there for the time when he will go astray. And you are also keeping away or guarding your emotions. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Do you understand me? Or do you get me? It's like you are holding back, so you can't even be yourself and be fully expressive with him. I said, because you have told yourself that he's going to go astray. I said, now there's a problem in there because your holding back also is going to be a problem for him. And then it's going to be a vicious cycle because as you are holding back, and then he maybe finds somebody who is allowing him to and being expressive with him and all of that, and he's developing closeness to somebody else. You say, huh? I said it. you wouldn't know that you played a part in it. I'm not blaming women. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you understand me at all? You're all looking like me. Are you like you came from Pluto this morning? Eh? You live on Earth? You live here? Thank you, sir. So when you are holding back and the guy has no connection, because you are holding back and you are thinking to yourself, I better not be too connected to him because he's going to go astray. I said, then you have already released him to somebody else. I said, so you need to deal with that yourself. Are you still here? Okay, so let's quickly get to Proverbs chapter 5. Because I want to try to be on time. The pastor in white is looking at me now. Proverbs 5, are you there? I'll just pick out a few verses, okay? Look at verse 3. It says, for the lips of an immoral woman drip honey. Now, please, apologies to the women, because let me put it this way. The Bible was written from a patriarchal culture, okay? It was written from a patriarchal culture. So oftentimes when you read the Bible, you find that there's a lot said from a man's perspective. It doesn't remove the responsibility from the other person, or it doesn't mean that what you are reading is not applicable to the other gender. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? So when, for instance, they talked about Jesus feeding 5,000 men, why did they not mention the women and the children, even though it was even a child that brought his food, that they eventually ate? Are you getting what I'm saying? But why did they not count the women and the children? Because it was a patriarchal culture. Okay, so the people were writing from their cultural perspective. So what I'm trying to say to you is this. As you read this, it applies to both. Are you with me? Good. So it says, for the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Yoruba will say what? So you've seen what? Immoral man. What happens? Eh? Women. You say that guy can toast anything. Eh? When he finishes toasting you, you'll be like toasted sandwich. You are real toast when it's done. Are you there? But the Bible says in verse 4, it says, but in the end. Can I hear you say in the end? It said, but in the end, she's as bitter as wormwood or sharp as a two-edged sword. Now, first thing is, always think about the end. Are you hearing me? That would be the bottom line of how one of the ways you avoid immoral relationships, or how you avoid illicit sex or sexual immorality, is think the end. The end. Can I hear you say the end? Only the end in your movie cinema. The end is the end of the film show. Nothing matters until the right what? The end. You can try to kill the actor. He can dodge. You can even shoot him sometimes. Abi? And then they shoot him and they just left you to wonder whether he's dead or not. Until you see the end, you don't conclude that he's dead. Abi? Because they can still show later that after they shot him 20 times, 10 in the head, 10 in the chest, somehow he just missed his heart. He missed the brain. It was all passing, scraping his. Abi? And then he got up. So until you see the end, you don't conclude on the matter. Think about the end. Are you with me? It means never think about the now. Never just think about the pleasures of the now, but think about the end. What's going to happen later? And for what am I mortgaging the end? You understand what I'm saying? For what am I going to give up the end? Oh, she looks so smashingly beautiful, pretty. I have to be with her. Think the end. How long will you be with her for? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then, after you have been with her for how many minutes? Then you face the end. And the end will be longer than that. Are you with me, anybody? You have gone quiet, though. So always remind yourself that sex is for, using Bible language, a fleeting moment. A fleeting moment. Meaning it doesn't last. I know that there's a lot of talk. Huh? There's a lot of talk about how long can the man last? Let him last. Can he last 24 hours? Are you with me? That guy. I want the guy. I don't want a 1 minute man. Don't worry, we're all in this world. Are you with me? Let him be a 6 hour man. It will still come to an end. And then what would you have mortgaged? You know, for a moment, Jacob and Esau, if you remember that story, Jacob and Esau were brothers, for those who don't know. They were twins. Well, they were not. Jacob, Esau, they were, so they were there anyway, they were brothers. And these two guys, okay, so one came to the other one and said what? Give me this food that you are cooking. Abi, that's the older one. Esau said to his brother, younger brother Jacob, said, give me this food that you are cooking. I want this food. I'm very hungry. Hunger is an emotion like sex is. You know, say, I'm very hungry. Hunger can even kill. Lack of sex can't. Are you following me? You know, people die, they do autopsies to figure out why they died. They've never done one before and said, this guy died for lack of sex. Or this lady died for lack of sex. Not one case. All the medical journals, textbook, none reported. Are you hearing me? But even for somebody that can kill, this guy was very hungry and said, give me this thing to eat. And the brother said, give me your birthright. He said, I say I'm hungry. You are talking birthright. What is this birthright to me? Take the birthright and give me the food. That's a transaction. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sex is transactional. Are you with me? It's transactional. It may not be money. You know, it may not be hookup. You know hookup. Let the ignorant be ignorant still. There's a story behind that one. How I knew hookup, there's a story behind it. Okay? But that's the issue. There's a transaction going on. That guy thought, look, birthright. They just use mouth to say, because I'm the firstborn, birthright, what is that to me? I'm hungry. Take the birthright. Give me food. You know, maybe in his mind, hear me out. Maybe in his mind, he thought that he was really losing nothing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because birthright, they didn't write it anywhere. There's no document for birthright. There's no money called birthright. You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing tangible to hold and say this is your birthright. Other than the fact that you were born first. So he said, what is that to me? Take it. So maybe he thought, I can, of course. How can he take it? Abi? So take it and give me the food. So the guy gave him the food. But guess what? The Bible says, when later he was to receive a blessing from their father, the blessing of his firstborn position, he lost it to his brother. He didn't know that it was the transaction of time past that meant something spiritually. It was not physically tangible, but it was spiritually tangible. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So people think, oh, I'm not losing anything. We're not even paying. I didn't give him money. I didn't give her money. Blah, blah, blah. There's nothing there. I just do it and I go. There's a transaction. Spiritual things are more real than physical. So, and remember that the Bible talks about that. It says that the things that we see are temporary. 2 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 4. The last verse there, above verse 18, if I'm right, it says the things that we see are temporary. The Amplified says they are subject to change by the things that we cannot see. So the unseen birthright changed the seen situation. And when he went to his father, the brother, they say that he subverted him and got the blessing of the firstborn. And when this guy came back and met the father, what happened? He said, Father, I've arrived. Bless me. And the father said, I have blessed your brother and he's already blessed. He said, Father, is it only one blessing you have? Bless me also. The man said, I blessed him. He's already blessed. Spiritual reality. Are you there? I said, are you with me? Okay, so back to Proverbs chapter 5. What did we read? He said, the mouth is very sweet. Listen, most of these things start with conversations. Huh? They start with conversations. Okay, maybe before I say that, let me finish up this thought about, you know, being fleeting and for a moment. If you've ever dealt, and we won't have time to read the story of Amnon and Tamar. How many people know the story of Amnon and Tamar in the Bible? So, 2 Samuel 13. 2 Samuel 13. So, Amnon and Tamar have siblings, children of King David. Amnon says, I am in love. Isn't that the common terminology? Yeah? That causes trouble everywhere. He says, I am badly in love. Badly in love with my sister Tamar. And that's why people throw caution to the wind. Abi? They say they are in love. I love her madly. You better get your senses back. Because you will do something that you will regret. Are you hearing me? And that guy was madly in love with his sister. The Bible says the love with which he loved her made her sick, made him sick. He was sick with love. I just love her. And then he created a plot on the advice of a friend, okay, of how to trick her to come to his place, and then he raped her. But the interesting thing, and what I'm after, is that imagine this guy who started from madly in love, slept with a lady, and the Bible says the moment it was done, he hated her. And quoting Bible words, he said the hatred with which he hated her was more than the love with which he loved her at first. Are you with me? Listen, I've seen it happen. I've seen fiancé, forget pronunciation. You understand? I've seen courtships destroyed, completely destroyed because of sex. Because one first person felt betrayed, felt like this person has used me. You hear what I'm saying? I felt like this person betrayed me. This person betrayed my standards. I'm talking even Christians. Are you hearing me? Somebody who has said, I'm not going to do this until I get married, and then feels like this person got me into bed and made me betray this vow that I made before God, and they hated the person. You know what I'm talking about? And that's what broke the relationship. They just say, no, I can't be with this person anymore, because he if he knew how much it meant to me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's for a fleeting moment. The Bible says, in the end, is bitter as wormwood. Are you still there? Okay, so let's go to the second thing in Proverbs that we're reading. It said the mouth is sweet. So I was saying to you, beware of conversations. Okay, beware of conversations. So when you think, there are things, there are conversations, there are people, or let me not just call it conversations, there are people you spend time with, you have to be very careful about. Are you hearing me? If you know how many people have had crush or Fanta before on somebody? You've had crush or Fanta on anybody before? Grandpa, you don't understand. They understand me. They understand me, Grandpa. Don't worry. They understand me, Grandpa. Am I worried? You have had crush before. They are all. I'm going to do deliverance service for liars here. I said, have you had it before anybody? Why are you not sitting down here? You know, the day I was telling my children, I said, I had crush. You said, you did? I said, yes, I did. I said, but one of the things I learned is that these two shall pass. Are you with me? I said, I learned very quickly that it changes like that. It just changes like night and day. That same person you thought, I said, just do nothing. And you find out that over time, it wins. Are you with me? But spend time with that person. And you can start fanning aflame the things you shouldn't. Go to Genesis. Go to Genesis 39. Genesis 39. You know, when we were in school also, there was a lady. And she was seeing this guy, spending time with this guy who wasn't saved. And I told her, I called her one day. She was my friend. And I said, come, sit down. I said, what are you doing? Ah, no, it's nothing. You know, it's nothing. You go to class together every day. You save seats. If you don't happen to go together, you will save seats for one another beside yourself. So you sit together throughout. Then you will walk back together. I said, see, that thing you are doing. He said, no. I said, religion. He said, no. I can't even date him. He's not saved. I said, my friend, you will not just date him. You will sleep with him. Are you there? Have you seen the people who are putting their hand in the lion's cage? Yeah? You saw the video, have you? The one on social media went down. This one wasn't modern day Daniel. You know, modern day Daniel went into the lion's den, have you? I held the Bible and said, but this one was standing, they went to zoo and was putting his hand in the lion's cage. The lion beat the hand, and he was trying to pull the hand out. You can imagine. Even me, I was feeling the pain through the screen. So there are things you don't put your hand in. Are you there? Genesis 39, verse 7. It says, and it came to pass. This was talking about Joseph. Okay, it says, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house. And he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Verse 10 is my emphasis. He said, so it was. As she spoke to Joseph day by day, because she was the boss. So that's unavoidable. Okay, she spoke to him day by day that he did not heed, meaning that he wasn't paying attention to her, to lie with her, but not just that. What did the Bible say? Or to be with her. So he wasn't paying attention to sleep with her, but he was also avoiding being around her. Are you hearing me? Whether you have crush on somebody or somebody has Fanta on you, you avoid being together if you want safety. Are you hearing me? I was listening to Lester Sumrall. He said one day they had just finished a meeting. He and a young minister, he said they just had a meeting somewhere, and there was this pretty lady who was in the meeting. He said when they got to the hotel, he saw the pretty lady sitting just by the lift of the hotel. He said, and as they entered, the young man said to him, Brother Lester, that's the lady that was at the meeting and all that. And he said, my friend, look straight ahead. He said, and you enter the lift, you go to your room, and you lock your door and stay there. Don't come down again, not even for water, not for anything. He said, you stay there. He said, that's how you stay safe. Are you with me? Because when you start having what? Whether you have or they have longing eyes, you know, your boss will call it something else. They say it's eye with ants. Ojukokoro. But any sign of it, you flee. He said, get to your room, lock the door, stay there. It's your money, don't come down. Are you with me? It also means don't play Superman or Superwoman. Are you still there? When you realize you have a soft spot for somebody, avoid being with that person. Spend the least time with that person, the least time possible. because you can fall. Are you hearing me? Galatians 6 was talking about when a brother is overtaken in a fault. He said, ye that are spiritual, correct that one in the spirit of meekness and take heed to yourself, lest you be tempted also. So he was saying you are spiritual. You are correcting and trying to restore somebody. He said, but watch yourselves. What's he saying? Everybody is susceptible. But this is one of the tricks to escaping and protecting your sanctification. Are you with me? You know, it was as bad as when I was in med school. There was a lady, pretty lady, but I wasn't interested in a relationship with her in any form. Nice lady, pretty lady, and all that. And at a point, I had to warn my friend because my friend was friends with her friends. She was my friend, and we're good friends, you know. But I knew how, and I felt that was my. We never had that conversation from then till now. You know, but I felt she had crush. Okay? So I told myself I have to protect her. So there were certain things, conversations I would not have around her. And at a point, I had to warn my friend. I said, when you go around her and her friends, be very careful what you say. Because he had joked before, because, I mean, as my friend, what about this lady now? Blah, blah, blah. And I said, And I said, be careful. If you go around them, don't ever joke about it. I said, because if you do, they will think that it's an indirect message from me. And what will also happen is that you will be stirring her emotions unnecessarily. I think that she already has emotions, but she'll get over it. And what I'm trying to do is that she will get over it without being hurt. Are you still with me, anybody? Okay, time has gone. Should we stop? They are quiet. It's vaccine we are taking. Vaccine. Look at your neighbor. Say it's vaccine. Let's look at verse 9. Proverbs chapter 5. Actually, I think maybe I should stop here. Are you with me? I think I should stop here. We'll continue. Abby, there's time. And when you take vaccines, sometimes you don't take too many at once. Sir? No. Let's stop there. You know, so when they say bring the child next month. That we can't give all the vaccines in one day. Abby? Huh? Okay. So you'll come back next time. Hallelujah. And there is more. There are more jabs. We're going through Proverbs 5, 6, 7. So there are more jabs. Amen. But this is the will of God. Are you with me? And if we'll follow, if we'll listen, if we'll take heed, then you will be the example of the believer. Hallelujah. You'll be the example of the believer. You'll be the one telling people, it's possible. It's possible to live right. Can I have an amen? It's possible to not do any of these things. It's possible to not fall in or step on these minds. Hallelujah. I will glorify God by our lives. Can I have an amen? Let's stand on our feet. I'm not sure that I can recap what I said this morning. But the Holy Ghost will recap for you. And you can go listen online. If you are online also, late welcome, but you're welcome to service this morning. But like I said to you, it's one of the biggest distractions around. In fact, you'll see, as we read the book of Proverbs, he said many people are cast down. And he said many of them are called mighty, mighty people. That's why we're talking about it. And I've never seen a generation that is so plagued or under attack, you know, by sex, like we see now. But we're trusting God that SGA will raise people. Amen. Who will influence their generation, influence their world, influence the people around them, and show them that it's possible. Hallelujah. Take a moment and just talk to God. Whatever it is you heard, talk to God about it this morning. Whatever is stirring in your heart, talk to God about it. Like I said, we all need God. The way we escape is by God. It's by God's help. It's by following what God says. It's by tapping into the grace of God. It's by hanging on to God. You know, the world will say, focus on your strengths and ignore your weaknesses. I always tell people, don't do it. Don't do it. Focus on your strength and deal with your weaknesses. Deal with them in God's presence. Don't let go until it's over. It's not over till it's over. Whatever your weaknesses are, go before God. Fast. After I fasted, I said, go and fast again. Pray again. Study God's word again. Stand there and make the confessions again. But don't let go and don't stop until you win. King Solomon let go. He ignored his weaknesses until the weaknesses destroyed him. And the Bible says at the end of his life, God was angry with him because he had so many strange women and they drew his heart away from God. God who had appeared to him twice. What was Solomon's problem? Not the women, if you ask me. Solomon's problem was the fact that he ignored that problem. That was his real problem. That he took that lightly. In fact, the Bible says he married Pharaoh's daughter and he refused to bring her to the house. So he built another one for her. He said, because this house, God has entered it, it is holy. So I thought to myself, so the man knew. He knew that this was a problem. He knew he shouldn't have married this woman. And he's still treating all the, rather he built another house next door. Instead of fighting it and going before God and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. David made a mistake once. He fasted. He went before God. Create in me a new heart. And renew the right spirit within me. He fought it. Solomon did it. He was doing cool boy. Wise. But despite all of that and an encounter with God appearing twice, at the end of his life, he strayed completely from God. Because he ignored that problem. Don't ignore anything. Especially in this area, don't ignore it. Don't put yourself down or condemn yourself because I have a problem, I have a weakness. Don't put yourself down because of that. But just go before God and say, God, it's me and you. It's me and you. We will fight this fight. We will win this thing. Sin shall not have dominion over me. That's what the scriptures say. Until it is my reality, I won't relax. And if it means living this way the whole of my life, fasting, praying every week, then I will do it till I die. All of my life I will do it. If that's what it takes to live right for me, I will pay that price. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for speaking to us. But when you speak, you release grace. Grace to help. Ezekiel said, he said to me, son of man, stand up. He said, and when he spoke to me, his spirit entered me and lifted me to my feet. Thank you, because when you speak, there is backup. Release of grace to do. Thank you, because we will do what we need to do to carry and conduct our vessel in honor and walk in sanctification. We thank you immensely. We thank you. We're grateful. Grateful for your words like this, and grateful for the grace they release into our lives. Thank you, Most High. In Jesus' name.